Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! And now, here are your toasts. Your toasts?
Our toasts.
Here are your toasts. Justin Ooh. Tyler toast. Pete LePage toast. And Alex Albin toast.
Yeah, all three of us.
I mean, that's why you hire a professional announcer.
Yep.
Man, yeah, we got to fire that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
He's the worst, that guy who's introing the show.
Yeah, oh,
so
God.
Bad.
Yeah, terrible.
You're trying to
speaking of bad, I hear you have some bad news, Justin.
No, great news.
Oh, that's the opposite. All right, go on.
Well, no, you're right. It is bad news. I'm moving. And because
Out of
that,
New York?
No. I'm moving just...
To California?
No. Just a couple blocks away.
Okay, good.
All right.
I'm moving in... With my fiance,
soon to be wifey.
Cool.
Yeah. And
good job not being uncomfortable saying that. By the way,
totally.
Yeah,
totally.
That's not a sign of anything.
It's a French word, and I need to get rid of a lot of my comics because.
Wait, let me get this straight. Your fiance doesn't like you having a lot of comics.
No, I mean it's just we're moving into a place where
your fiance was like, "Don't bring the comics in our new apartment, Mr.
Yeah.
Toast."
I am marrying the all-in-the-family wife, so that's going to be awkward because she's old and dead. But it's just we're moving into a nice place, and I have them stacked in the corner of my room like a hoarder. So if anyone is interested in just taking free comics and lives in New York or will be in the New York area, hit me on Twitter at JT Sizzle. I will meet up with you and give you comics.
Oh,
that's like
okay.
I will not be underpriced. They're free. Free comics.
How many comics do you have?
Thousands and thousands.
And you will carry all of those comics to anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Well, no, I'd like to meet at a more neutral location. I don't need to go to your house, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
Justin Tyler, just to make this clear, hit him up at JT Sizzle on Twitter.
Please.
He will carry thousands of comic books to your house.
Oh, boy.
Feed you in bed, rub your feet,
while you read
and
all
feed
of
you bonbons and read you all of the comic books.
Yeah, I'll
is that true?
To.
That's
yeah.
adorable.
I am available, and I'll buy you beer, as Pete LePage likes to say.
Yeah, you'll buy
every
you.
Chance you can get.
Cool.
So please,
what if I want those comic books? Will you bring them to me?
Just hit me on Twitter. And then, you can have... I want them gone. I've read them. I'm not a crazy collector. I'm going to keep a bunch of them, certainly my favorites.
But. What are you going to keep?
Oh, I don't... I haven't even gone through
them. Wait, we have a show to do, right? I mean, it seems like we're kind of...
No, I'm going to list every number of comics.
Okay, all right, because I feel like we could just
Alex
get to
the... Alex asked me a
question. Oh, okay. This is going to be one of those Pete rushes us through the show.
Yeah,
shows.
Pete wants some attention. Well, Pete what's going on in your life?
My best friend is moving away. That's what's happening.
Oh.
I'm moving closer to you.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be nicer. Because we hang out so much.
Guys, I'm very excited about the show that we have tonight. Our guest tonight is a performer at the People's Improv Theater in New York. You can see him at... Many, many shows there. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Yoke!
Yeah! Come on, Yoke. Brian. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes.
Pull up a seat. Have
Please,
a beer. Relax.
Pull up your own seat.
So, Brian, I hear you don't really read comic books. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. No, I haven't. You know, I read mostly my friend's comic books. I had a handful of my own. But my friend collected X-Men when we were kids, so I would read his, and we watched the cartoon.
Are you looking for some free comics?
I might be. I was sitting over there thinking about that one.
Okay, just hit me on Twitter at JT.
All right, we got it.
All right, I'm starting to feel like this is a Twitter promotion and not actually giving away free comics.
This doesn't feel like a live show anymore.
I need 10 followers, guys. I just need 10.
To make it up to 10?
Yeah, I need 10 total followers. No, I'm honestly giving away these comics.
So you were telling me that you got back into comics mostly because of the Buffy comic books, though.
Yeah, you know, I was I'm a big fan of Buffy. The whole I like pretty much anything that Joss Whedon does. And after season 7 ended, and then they came out with the season 8 comics, I didn't buy them right away, but I remember seeing them in a comic book store that I just stepped in to waste some time before I saw a movie. And I'm sorry. Yeah, that was I had time. That I could have wasted, but I put it to use in a comic books.
You were about to waste time on seeing a movie, time that could have been spent reading comic books, and you fruitfully decided to read comic books before.
Exactly. So fruitful.
Yeah.
Fruitful. Well, we just said,
I'm sure the right
fruit
word.
Fruit by the footful.
It's what got me back into comics, was walking into that store, and then I went online and bought basically all of them, because I was a little bit late to the party, so most of them had come out already.
Ah.
Yeah. Now, have you kept up with all of the spinoffs as well, the Angel and Faith, Spike, Willow comic books?
I have not kept up. I've watched the Angel show, but I don't have any of the comics yet.
Gotcha.
Yet being the
you should pick up Angel and Faith.
Alex is the only reader of
them. I am. So we can talk about it forever.
Really,
this is
going
to take about an hour, guys. Pete, do we have time?
Wait, you read them? You read those comics?
I have, too. A couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch the Angel show?
It's no.
Really are you a huge David Bornies fan?
Oh, God. Every time you guys say the Angel show, you're killing me.
The Angel show?
You sound like a grandma.
I'm talking about Touched by an Angel.
The only angel show that matters.
Right. Exactly.
Besides Highway to Heaven,
the Touched by an Angel show.
That sounds.
What
even
was
worse.
The what was it? Paul Hogan Angel movie. What was that?
That is a movie that happened in your brain.
Okay.
Also called a dream.
I thought it was one
Paul Hogan Angel movie. The one that's happening
Dundee.
In real life.
You're
right
thinking
now,
of Crocodile Dundee?
Hey, I'm not. No, there was a movie I thought where he played an angel.
Well, he's an angel in heaven. How?
Is Paul Hogan dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did he die of?
A crocodile?
No, that's the Crocodile Hunter. And he died of a jelly manta.
Oh, wait. Is Paul Hogan? Oh, man. I feel like a dick.
What?
I don't know if he's dead
or
alive.
Are you thinking of Hulk Hogan?
No.
Paul Hogan, could you please reach out to us?
Brian, back to you. Are we thinking of Paul Hogan or Hulk Hogan?
I think you're thinking of Paul Hogan. I think what he can do if he's still alive is contact us at JT Sizzle on Twitter.
Right. Glad we're really
that would be the right way to reach out
there.
To.
That's a good idea. Now, you should read the rest of the books. And for those of you who don't know, Dark Horse is now on to season 10 of Buffy. They just started releasing them, and they're great. Christos Gage and Rebecca Isaacs, the reason I brought up the Angel show, was there was a book called Angel and Faith that they did for season 9 that was awesome. It was easily the best of any of the Buffy comic books, and they have taken over the main Buffy comic book for season 10, and I couldn't be more excited. They're great.
That's good to hear. Yeah, no, I haven't kept up with the Angel stuff at all. So
He's 74. He's still alive.
Oh, in your face.
Sorry, Hulk Hogan or Paul Hogan?
Paul Hogan.
Hulk
Crocodile
Hogan.
Dundee.
Did he die? I thought he died.
Nope.
No, you're thinking of the Crocodile Hunter.
What was the movie he played an angel in?
That doesn't exist.
No, I'm looking that up right now. Yeah, almost an angel. Yeah! That did exist, about? You pieces of shit.
Oh, cool. Yeah, when I think angel, I think Australian's own Paul Hogan.
Why can't
I would argue,
angel be Australian?
I would argue that he also played an angel in Crocodile Dundee.
Yep.
Nice.
A form of an angel.
Yeah, that's true. That's great.
An angel on Earth. Talk about some of the shows that you do at the Pit. I hear that you do some with somebody else. Over here.
I'm on a team full of really great improvisers and Pete LePage. And
this is the kind of dirty talk we want to hear.
Cool. Welcome to the roast of Pete LePage.
Yeah. If we have time.
We don't.
I get it. You're so bad.
I'm the roast master. I'm the Jeff
All
Ross.
Of our jokes about Pete are that he's like, come on, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I wanted to
it's
get
really
a
funny.
Gift for Pete. I got him a watch.
Oh, man. Anyways.
Yeah. So how is the team? What's the name of your team?
Magically Delicious.
Oh, great.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that sounds just like an improv team.
Yep, that's the
point. Do you guys ever improvise about comic books?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Or just cereal?
Mainly cereal.
Name one comic book related scene that you've done with your improv team.
Ooh.
Either one of you.
And give us the initiation, the general game moves, and sort of what the button was.
Wow. Look at you, indie guy. Know all the stuff.
Know all the stuff. Fuck you. I've been performing improv for 8 years.
I know that.
All right, this isn't strictly a comic book scene, but it was a scene about World of Warcraft, and I suspect that there are comics, and they probably aren't very good about World of Warcraft.
There are.
Yeah.
Correct.
But I did do a scene with a bunch of orcs who were tired of being villains that everybody just comes in and kills. They were just sitting around the dungeon waiting to be killed. And I think there wasn't really a button, but a barbarian came in and killed us at the end, basically, after we whined about it.
What did you play?
I played a barbarian who killed
you. You killed them? Yeah. Nice.
It was a stretch, but somehow I managed.
Do you end every scene, Pete, by just killing everybody?
Yeah, that or killing. So it's either way. It can go either
killing,
way.
Killing
everybody or just killing?
He means like comedically.
Oh,
killing.
Okay. Not
you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
When can people check out your improv group?
We are Mondays at 8 p.m.
Yep.
Every single Monday.
So condescending.
It was condescending.
When can people come and see your lemonade stand, guys?
It's adorable. It's so adorable.
What is your little show?
When's your macaroni gonna the glue gonna dry on it so we can check out your art?
I'm really proud of you, kids.
I want to put
way.
It on the fridge.
Great.
Thanks,
guys. I think we're gonna move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're gonna talk about some comic books that came out this week. Talk about why we like them. So let's kick it off with Pete's Pick.
Yeah. Hashtag Pete's Pick.
Please hit us up, hashtag Pete's Pick, at JSD Sizzle. Let us know what you think about Pete's Pick. Shit. Daredevil, number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Controversial pick. Not a lot of people liking this book. Pete, why'd
Fresh
you like it?
Fresh book.
Well, I was very mad at this book.
You were mad at the paper.
All right, hold on. I'm just going to ask in advance. Did you being mad at this book, which was great, by the way, amazing art and great writing, did it have anything to do with their treatment of Foggy Nelson?
Yes.
Oh,
that was
God.
Such bullshit. It ruined the whole issue. It could have been a great issue.
You need to read a comic book called Foggy Nelson and stop reading Daredevil.
Is there one? No, there isn't. So I have to read fucking Daredevil.
Foggy Nelson's comic would be like just the same as your life. He like goes to work and goes home and he's like, oh. And he reads a comic book called Daredevil.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened in this book before you get so down.
So,
but please, describe the action from Foggy Nelson's perspective.
Well, there's a big reveal. The big reveal at this, spoiler alert, is that Foggy is dead, which is bullshit. But then it's like, is he dead? And I just thought it was such a move to not, like, it kind of looks like he is because they show his urn. But then it looks like Foggy's the last page, and it's like, what?
It seems clear to me on this last page that he has a speech bubble. So, like, unless he's...
Yep, that's not a dead man's...
Nope.
Yeah, but Daredevil clearly says he's dead.
Perhaps it's a ruse. You never trust a blind lawyer.
Yeah, there's something bigger going on. So, the idea here is Daredevil has moved to San Francisco. He's dealing with being in a new city, having a new life.
Yeah. Far apart, different heights. It's very frustrating.
But as usual, Mark Waid and Chris Samnee do a great Daredevil adventure. It's fun. It's exciting. They figure out new ways to use Daredevil's powers and challenge them, which is fantastic. And I love that twist at the end with Foggy. You don't know what's going on because we haven't seen the last we left Foggy. He was sick with cancer.
Right.
We find out he's dead. And then immediately afterwards, we find out he's not dead. So we don't know what's going on. And I think that's great. It's a really cool... new status quo for Daredevil, and it earns the number
one. So you think it would be cool if somebody that you knew and cared about, you could just be like, they're dead.
Do you mean a fictional character or a real person?
Real person.
Okay, if I knew a real person who I thought was dead, but they were really alive, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
No, it wouldn't.
Super cool.
We accidentally did it to Paul Hogan, and he probably doesn't think that's cool. He probably isn't happy about
that. What if he walked in right now? That would be amazing.
That would be pretty amazing. I bet he was sitting in Australia somewhere being like, right, that was pretty cool.
No, that was awful. That was awful.
Well.
Tell him Paul Hogan sent you.
So you guys don't mind, you thought it was a great move.
It's a one frame, like, he's dead for one frame. And then you show him talking. So I didn't have time to get upset over it.
Your anger should have ended in the millimeter margin between the panels.
Why would Daredevil say that about his friend?
Maybe there's something more going on here. Like a to be continued. Let's see. Number one of Infinity. So, yeah, there's probably more going to happen.
It doesn't say that. It does. Nope.
I thought this was great. Mark Waid writes with such detail. And the way he turns the stories, this kidnap victim, there's a great twist with it, which I just thought was great and dark, but also played fun on the side of Daredevil. This is my favorite version, iteration of Daredevil ever, I think.
Ever? Really?
Mark Waid...
So the previous stuff, not just this one issue.
I'm talking about Mark Waid and Chris Samnee's run, just in general. Like, it has the sort of the darkness and the lightness as opposed to just, like, shitting on Daredevil, which a lot of those previous ones, which were also great.
Yeah.
But
No, you don't have to defend to me. I love this also. I think this also might be mine. I would say Frank Miller, probably. Like, original Frank Miller Daredevil is awesome. Yeah. So there's no real touching that. But... I do think it's crazy that every first issue of Daredevil that Merrick Wade does, you get pissed off about how Foggy is being treated.
Well, and I think it's fucked up. Criticism.
Why do you love Foggy so much? What draws you to him? Because he's just like a sort of...
Your favorite characters are Wolverine, the Punisher, and Foggy Nelson.
We got the Hulk.
Who wins in that fight? Not Foggy.
Well, he should.
Well, why do you like him? Because he's like a lawyer?
No,
or because
I think...
he's like a chubby friend? What do you like about him?
Yeah. It upsets me that Daredevil doesn't treat his friends better.
He's in cancer. You helped him. He saved his life like nine times.
Hey, if you were dying of cancer and I was making jokes about how dead you were and then showing pictures of Ernst.
He's not making this joke. There's clearly some other thing going on here.
We don't know that.
Hey, man, I got to be honest. I have an urn that says Pete LePage.
That's fucked up.
So, I know it's fucked
That's
up,
really
but I
fucked
love
up.
It. I love it. And I make jokes with all my friends. I'm like, look, it's Pete.
That's
and
really
then we put
up.
Out cigarettes in your ashes. It's
oh,
fun.
Man.
It's fucked up, but it's fun.
Anyway, this That's book awful. Is, wait, why did you pick this if you hate this book? This was your pick.
I know, because I wanted to talk about how fucked up it was.
Oh, you're fucked up.
Not to poke holes in your, sure. Everybody thinks he's dead and it's confusing theory, but like... Daredevil, I don't think he even actually says he's dead. Somebody asks him about it, and then he just looks back at it. It's like all happening in his head, so it's just clear that Daredevil thinks
that's fact check. This is the first time ever. We're fact checking.
Maybe he's saying that Foggy is super tiny and sitting in that urn.
Yeah, no, he's. Someone says, didn't you have a different partner back in New York, though? And he says, Foggy.
And then it shows an urn.
That may just be like a vase.
No.
You don't know about urns?
Look,
are you an urn man?
I'm an urn man.
Here's the thing. You look at that urn, and like it's kind of chubby with a small thing on top, kind of like Foggy. So he's like, that reminds me of Foggy.
Yeah. Ah, Foggy. I got to call him because he's so healthy right now. And alive.
There's your cliffhanger. All right. Let's move on. We're going to talk about Justin's pick, which is American Vampire Second Cycle number 1 from Vertigo Comics.
Second Cycle.
When you think of cycles, you think of vampires.
Motorcycles, yeah. Bicycles, unicycles. This comic is so, so good. If you haven't read the first cycle, check it out. But this, what's great about it, it's Scott Snyder, and his writing's great. Raphael Albuquerque, if that's how you pronounce it, like the city, I hope. His art is just amazing. It's like, it's filmic while also being sort of a very painted look. It's just really great. About a new breed of vampires, and the first run of the book dealt with a bunch of periods in history following the one character, Pearl Jones. This picks up with Pearl, but it's going to open up the world a lot and get into other vampires and how the species developed, and it's just great characters, great storytelling, amazing.
I think there's an interesting connection with Daredevil number 1 here, because this...
Foggy is alive in this.
He's on
this
dead.
This is another
really
number
alive.
1 that's part of a longer ongoing story, but they do a really good job of reestablishing the characters with new stakes and new purpose, as well as new settings. And I agree. This series is fantastic, and it's good to have it back. Like you said, Raphael Albuquerque's art is great. Yeah. He draws settings from the desert to fields to the snow that I'm looking at right now. And
it's so scary. It's very, like, there's some kids in this book that are terrifying.
Yeah.
I will say... This issue is really building on the mythology that's already been set up over the past couple of years. So if you have read everything reading up to this, you're going to get more out of it, and it's going to be more enriching. But I think you haven't read it.
Yeah, I can say I haven't read any of the previous ones, and I was confused for about the first half of the book. But by the time you get a couple of pages into each of the different threads that they're following, they definitely fill out the details enough that it makes sense. It's pretty clear what's going on.
As a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, how did you feel about this particular take on vampires?
It's definitely a different take. There are a lot of child vampires in this. You don't see those a lot in Buffy, the exception of the Anointed. And
I know what you're talking about.
Well, the Anointed was really annoying. And the child vampires in this seem like they could be cool, and they have really big teeth.
Yeah, scary teeth.
Cool.
This is the best take on vampires in a long time. I'm really into
you
giving some superlatives tonight. Pete, did you like this?
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. I think Scott Snyder is an amazing writer. He really does a great job of crafting characters and making them feel original, even if it's something we've seen a lot, like vampires. But I got into the first cycle a little bit, but I feel like this is a great kind of refresher.
Can we stop referring to it as the first cycle?
No, it's just all cycles, man. Right. Wheels on wheels. It's just the monthly cycle.
Oh, man. That was ridiculous.
Oh, man.
The second cycle.
Yeah. She's that girl.
No, not necessary.
Let's just move right on.
Whatever you're crafting in your little brain over there,
she'll
whisper into your pillow tonight.
All right. I'll tell you guys later. Yeah. All right, this is my pick. Nice segue, actually.
Oh, God.
Sex Criminals, number 5 from Image Comics. Yeah. If you are not reading this book, this is one of the best books coming out right now. The idea, which is crazy and insane and played so well by artist Matt Fraction and artist Chip Zdarsky, is 2 people find out that if they orgasm, they can freeze time. And the 2 of them find out they could do it together, freeze time together, so they decide to do what anybody would do, which is have sex and rob banks.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this issue, it's all coming together. We're finding out there's more people who have this power. There's a lady, yeah, I get it. There's a lady named Kegelface who could use her Kegel muscles to cause an orgasm to freeze time. She works as a cop who keeps track of people who are having sex and causing crimes. So there's this bigger conflict going on. At the same time, it's ridiculous. But the thing that I think starts off every single issue so fantastically is the recap page, which is the best recap page in possibly the history of comics.
What?
It's amazing. Every issue, it's different. One issue, they had the recap went so long it ran off the page.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I forgot this one thing and also this other. And
they're mostly making fun of recap pages.
Totally.
In a great way. And this was actually the first one that sort of felt like an actual recap?
Well, the thing that's amazing is it's an actual recap that they wrote in dirty limericks.
Yeah.
So,
and I love a saucy limerick.
Yeah. There once was a gal named Suze who once received terrible news. Library in danger. She slept with a stranger who turned on her time-freezing coos.
It's great stuff.
Things like that. I don't know. It's funny. Shut up. The art is also great by Chip Zdarsky. I love how
the
it's
art
laid
is
out.
Amazing.
The color, I don't know who does the color. Becca Kinsey, who does the color flatting. It's gorgeous. It's just a great, great book throughout. What do you guys think about it?
Yeah, I agree with you. I really like it a lot. I'm curious to know where the book's going to go. Like, they've been in premise sort of this whole time, and then now they just robbed the bank, and now it feels like the story's about to go, and we're going to see what kind of world actually they go into.
Yeah, I think they say that on the last page. They say our world just got a whole lot bigger.
Yeah.
Because they've figured out that there are these sex cops, basically, that are out there.
Nothing worse than sex cops.
Yeah. Am I right?
And it's, I think, they call it the quiet, right? The world that you enter when you're orgasming or doing Kegels or whatever.
I call it the loud.
And it seems like it's like a binary situation. You're either in it or you're in the other world or whatever.
Yeah. You're in or you're out.
Yeah. It reminds me of a movie I saw called I think it's called Cash Back on Netflix, where this guy in a grocery store uses his imagination to freeze time and then goes and takes people's shirts off and stuff. It's fun.
Huh.
Not exactly the same story, but it does remind me of it.
Yeah. I think this is a great issue. It's tying up the arc, as you said, and it gets to a lot of the emotional truths about the character, which I think is really cool. It's the pilot, right? These first 5 issues or so have been the pilot of the series, and I can't wait to see where it goes next.
Pete, do you like it?
It's weird, man.
Before the show, Pete got super pissed at me for making him read a book called Sex Criminals. Said I absolutely don't read it. Would you read a book? What was the title? Rapey?
No, I don't know what
you're
talking about.
You said... to me, would you read a book called Rapey? What I told Pete was I absolutely would if my friend Pete told me it was a good book.
Don't tell him.
No, that's not what you said.
Because he'll say it on the
phone. Yeah, I know. You use stuff like we're having a conversation that...
In confidence.
Yeah, in confidence.
No, honestly,
and then you air it out on the goddamn show.
Honestly, though, do you not like this book because of all the sex?
No, I just think that it's...
You don't
some
know what
premises
an orgasm
you,
is?
I do know what that is. I just think that, like, some premises you're like, okay. But some premises, I'm just like, okay, you have sex and it freezes time. Great.
You don't buy this, but you buy any number of insane.
I don't know why.
You're like, what the fuck? They can't stop time with sex. The Hulk
can.
The Hulk, though, that dude can beat up anybody.
Yeah, when he jumps, it's,
everybody knows if you get hit with gamma rays, it brings out your inherent rage into a monster that becomes another person.
Yeah. Interesting.
But you can't freeze time with sex.
The sex book makes you uncomfortable, but the anger book makes
it's
you
It's not
happy.
That it's uncomfortable. I just think it's like, it's not interesting to me. And I don't mean that as an offense, because I know Fraction's an amazing writer. I read it, and I just get bored, and I'm like,
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, you start, you get into it for a little while, geez. And you get stop.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Well.
Well, it's rock out time at the Comic Book Club. All right, actually, that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
Guys, we are going to move to our next section, which is your audience questions. So I want you guys to think of absolutely any question you can think of that has to do with geek stuff, movie stuff, comic book stuff, anything.
Anything.
And
personal.
We are going to give you some free comics in return.
Say personal?
Not from Justin's personal collection.
Nope. Yeah. But if you
this is a good time to mention, you know, if you do want free comics, we give away free comics. So
going
to jail.
It kind of feels like Justin's honing in on our business a little bit.
Yeah. These are going to be like comics that I like have handpicked.
All right.
Selected for
seven
their craft.
7 years ago, we just added a business model of doing a free show and giving away comics.
Yep.
We knew that would make us rich. And now you are cutting into our business model, Justin.
Yeah, I know. It's time to make some personal profit.
All right. We're going to go over here for a question. So please hit it, sir.
Can you sum up DC and Marvel in one word?
Wow. DC and Marvel in two separate words, one
two
for
separate
each.
Words, one for each.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good question. That's a difficult question to answer.
Good and good.
Good and good?
Good.
Yeah, there we go. I love everything.
You're a jackass. I would say, for DC, I would say oops would be my word. Oops, because they sort of made a couple mistakes.
Okay, and then what would you say for
Marvel? What's your DC word?
I keep thinking of more than one word. I'm trying to get one word that sums up what I'm...
I would say that it would be more of mine, for Marvel, be not a word, but like a mathematical expression. It would be 1.now.2, I think, would sum up Marvel.
Yeah, I guess for me, Marvel, it would be snicked. And then for DC, it would be too many universes. I can't figure out how I want to say that smaller.
Okay.
It's too many. It's too much shit.
Maybe it'd be like
New 52, one word?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Definitely.
Yeah, I can answer no.
If you say it
hyper
real quick.
Universal, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Multi-universal.
Multiverse is one word.
Yeah, but it's not expressing
how
much
multi,
I don't
so
like.
How about multi-curse?
Excessive
multi-curse,
universe.
Yeah. Multi-curse.
So DC is all about multiple universes, various characters, entire teams, and
no, I just feel like...
There. And I'm sorry, and Marvel is about Wolverine's claws coming out of his head?
I mean, that's the comp on the company.
I just feel that like Marvel has a great way of encapsulating characters and ideas in ways that are succinct and make sense and I can follow and I enjoy.
Did you say succinct?
Yeah. And then DC is just kind of so all over the place that like sometimes I like a character, sometimes I don't. Depends on who's doing what, and they're just all this bullshit backstory. It's too much.
Wow. I can't believe you hate Wonder Woman.
What was your Marvel?
I love Wonder Woman, you asshole.
Mine was 1.now.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's definitely a word.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
Oh, it's a mathematical expression.
For Marvel, my word is pissed.
Ooh.
That has to do with some news I heard today.
Well, please share.
They were shitty to a friend of mine.
The corporation was
shitty to a friend of mine
Holy
today,
shit.
Yes.
Wow. What happened?
Can you say?
I'd rather not, just in case.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Wow, that's wild.
Was your friend Brian Michael Bendis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Was your friend Iron Man?
Yes. They really fucked
They've
over Tony Stark.
They've been pretty good to Iron Man, though.
Oh, man.
Oh, you know, historically, but they reversal this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally fucked him up.
And what about DC?
DC would just be a question mark. I think if his 1.now. Whatever counts as a word, I'll put a question mark for DC.
And are you sticking with good and good?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Oh,
yeah,
boy. What you're a terrible toast.
Let me
cool.
give you some free comments.
Raise your hand if you got a question, and I will come over to you. Yes, you, sir, that is very close to me that I do not know.
What's the grossest thing you've ever seen depicted in a comic, and did it make you nauseated?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Grossest thing in a comic book. That's
probably
tough.
Literally anything in Crossed, if you ever read
yeah.
Crossed.
Yeah. That's a great answer.
Choose any number of pages in that comic book. from the guy running around. What was his name? Horsecock?
Horsecock, yeah.
The guy who had a horsecock that would run around to whip a horsecock.
No, I think he actually was given that name before he grew up into that role.
Yeah, I think there was somebody
jerking off on bullets and then shooting people. That was pretty crazy.
That's not weird.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're already shooting people at that point, that's rude.
Yeah, it's just
it's
rude.
Like, come on.
Grossest.
You get hit with that bullet and you're like, oh, you're gross.
I've been, Animal Man has been pretty fucking dark. Some of the stuff in there has been,
But gross?
Sorry, what comic was this?
Animal Man?
Animal Man.
The whole, like, what is it? The Rot was freaky, man.
The Rot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty gross.
That gross, yeah.
Yeah.
That was in the art, the great art, I think.
And it was also tough because they took people that you knew and loved and then, like, when they turned evil, it was fucking gross looking.
Yeah.
This isn't exactly gross, but I do remember something from a comic that I read as a kid. I think I owned it as a kid. And it was a page where Psylocke was licking motor oil off of Cyclops' cheek for some reason.
Oh, like a sexy...
Yeah, sort of a sexy thing, but like, it's motor oil.
That's pretty gross.
And I don't like Cyclops that much, so I
was... Yeah!
It was probably Colossus, I would guess.
It was definitely Cyclops.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would he have motor oil?
There was like he was working on the jet.
He was working on the X-Jet?
Because Colossus is metal.
Yeah, so
what?
He's like,
he's not the Tin Man. He doesn't
oil
use
can.
Oil.
He's always like,
no,
oil can. No, das Vidania oil can.
No,
right, I remember
that's
that.
Ridiculous.
Wow. What about you?
I'm trying to think of something that's truly gross. I always think when Skin of the X-Men takes her skin off, that always grosses me out. Or Husk, sorry.
Yeah.
Not Skin. Skin's gross too, though. That dude was just a bunch of extra skin. That's the worst mutant power.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Husk sheds her skin, that always grosses. I've never been made nauseous, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've ever thrown up.
What was that one? It was like a horror comic that you wanted me to read. And I couldn't get all the way through it.
Because you started crying?
Yeah, it was really fucked up, but you loved it.
Are you thinking of Casper the Friendly Ghost?
Yeah. It was, Scott Snyder, I think.
What?
Yeah, Scott Snyder one where they're driving that fucked up. Yeah, Severed.
Severed
was fucked up.
That was good.
It's great, though. It's a great horror story.
Yeah.
Cool. There you go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. I'm going to come over here. Yes, you, sir.
I have a suggestion first. I love hearing you guys read comics, but next time, can you use voices?
Use voices?
Yeah. I mean, I know you guys like, you know, some of you guys are classically trained.
Let me think.
Change
it
up. Shot across
the bow. Yeah, exactly. I was going to use it exactly.
I'm just saying I want to be enthralled in this. If you're going to read something, like, I want to hear
it. No problem. No problem. Okay. We're known for our voice work, especially Alex as well. So
that aside.
Yeah. Tell him Paul Hogan sent you.
Oh, man.
That aside, if you could take any comic book or character or anything and make it a Broadway play, what would it be and what would be the basic synopsis?
Nice. Great. Well, as a
classically
trained.
I would like to just jump in. It would be the Punisher, and every time someone tried to sing, the Punisher would shoot them.
It's not a musical, though. It's a play.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a play by default.
Yeah, exactly.
It kills everybody.
Every time someone tries to dip into sun.
That's a good answer.
Oh, we're saying a Broadway play, not a musical.
What?
It's a Broadway play, not a musical?
Yeah, Broadway play. That was the question.
I think you could go either way if you have an idea for one or the other.
Yeah, for a musical.
I think it would be cool to have a version of Our Town with X-Men. That would be nice.
Our Mansion?
Yeah, Our Mansion. And Wolverine's like, oh, hello, I didn't see you there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, come inside. I'm going to show you many of the weird things we have in this here X-Mansion.
Yeah.
That's how Our Town goes, right?
Yep.
In a way, yeah. Very thick accent.
Cool. Thank you.
I was thinking maybe a version of Stomp where the X-Men use their mutant powers to make noises, the snick that the Wolverine's claws make, and any other sort of noise you can make with a mutant power.
Yeah.
That as Stomp, basically.
Nice.
Nice.
Well, you could do
You could do Blue Man Group with all the, you know, Nightcrawler, Beast, you know.
Oh, because they're
Mystique.
Blue.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Blue Man Group.
Nope. No, I haven't.
Really? The Book of Norman. You could do Norman Osborn.
That's pretty good. What about Death of an X-Man?
That's amazing. I think that's great. A Midsummer Nightcrawler's Dream. Be really good.
Yep.
Cool.
But yeah, I want to see. I mean, you said the Hulk. I'm imagining like a sort of shitty musical, like the way Spider-Man was sort of really cheesy, where they like the Hulk's like turning, Bruce Banner's getting angry, and then just stagehands come out and assemble a Hulk costume on him, and he's like, "Bruh, that'd be cool."
Yeah, I don't know how you do a superhero play. A musical you kind of do because they're big and they're numbers. Bombastic, but. Maybe you could do a legit answer to the question. Maybe you could do a Magneto play.
Like the origin story?
Yeah, like an origin story. He has a pretty serious, hardcore origin story.
Greg Pak did an amazing graphic novel.
I think
that
might be kind of cool. They're talking about doing this Harry Potter origin story play. I don't know if you heard about this, that J.K. Rowling is working on. And the idea is it's stuff leading up to where the movies and books happen. Mm-hmm. So you just get to see him as a kid. So it's not clear if there's actually going to be any magic or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just this horrible upbringing this kid has. Oh. And I think there's actually something kind of interesting about that.
Well, wouldn't it be cool to do like sort of a relationship play of Superman and Lois Lane? Or like there's a lot of that.
Uh-huh.
I think you could do any
Lois
sort of,
and Clark, basically.
Yep. The New Adventures of Superman. Yep. And then
get Terry Hatcher and Dean Cain back.
I'm oh, sure yeah.
If I'm sure only they were available. You could also do Who's Afraid of Virginia's Wolverine.
Cool. Do we have any other questions? Any other questions? Yeah. Yes, you, sir, in the back. Come all the way up here, please.
Hi. Which comic book character's death made you really sad and or enraged?
Cool.
Good question.
Comic. I'll go.
But we know Pete's.
Pete's is Foggy Nelson.
Well, let me say, I would say... When Frankencastle died.
You were an asshole.
Were you going to say?
Really? You're going to bring that up all the time?
When Frankencastle went back to boring old Punisher.
You're a complete asshole. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of choices to go with here. Yeah,
but yeah, because death is everywhere.
Because death is everywhere.
So wait, what do you have? What do you got?
Well, I was going to say when Spider-Man died, but then was Casper the fucking ghost. And then when you had, this whole... I don't want to say Foggy because it's obviously he's still alive.
He did die for a millimeter of panel.
Yeah, but I didn't like the Frankencastle move. So the opposite of your.
But he did not die. He just was reborn.
I just thought it was bullshit that he was taken out by Dokken, a lower tiered fucking bullshit guy.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Good rant,
Justin.
Just
what about
rant.
You?
Character death. I feel like it always bums me out when Jean Grey is killed because I feel like she's one that you always know is going to come back. And so it just bums me out. It takes me out of the storyline a lot. So especially the most recent death, that one I was just like, and we've seen different iterations of her since.
Interesting.
I don't have a good one. I will say I wish that Anya had survived into season 8 of Buffy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, I like
Michelle Geller in the front row. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, I liked her death in season 7, but I would have liked to see her in the comics.
Yes. God, this is a really tough one. It's taken me a really long time to think about what character death in comic books may be the
Uncle
saddest.
Ben?
What?
Uncle Ben?
No, I don't think it's Uncle
that
Ben.
Really bother you?
No, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's nobody that I really talk about.
Superman's
all the time.
Parents?
No, not Superman's Batman's parents.
Batman's
parents. No, not Batman's parents.
That really bummed me out.
Yeah.
His parents died. Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Cypher.
Yeah, there it is.
Cypher from the New Mutants. That was definitely one I don't know if it's been clear from the 7 or 18 years we've been doing the show, but affected me on a deep emotional level when I read it back in fall.
Did you say we've been doing the show 7 or 18 years?
I honestly don't remember. It feels like forever.
Well, I don't know. He didn't die. He was just upgraded to...
No, he wasn't.
He was...
He died saving Rain.
He was transformed...
From being killed...
He transformed into a book, didn't he?
Alex, he transformed into a Kindle. Could you actually wipe could you wipe the tears off your face before we move on? You're embarrassing.
No.
Yeah.
Do we have any more?
Yep.
Yeah? Okay, we can take one more question. You, sir, right up front.
Oh, we got a couple. There's one in the back, too. Let's take it.
So what creative team is yet to work on a book that you'd really like to see? Or it could just be a creator who has not worked on a book.
A creator.
Creator. God. I'd love to see him write a book. I think he'd write a great Frankencastle.
God? I don't know. Have you read the Bible? It's not. It's
boring. Confusing, right?
It's boring and confusing.
They're making a movie out of it. It's coming out this weekend.
Oh, really? Of the Bible?
Yeah, the Bible. Ooh. Noah.
It's going to be long.
Noah, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see Brian Azzarello on The Punisher. I feel like that would be a great choice.
Yeah.
He's a dark, scary guy.
He's he's a terrifying man. I would like to see, this is a weird answer, I think, Joss Whedon on New Warriors. I think that that book needs a youthful, I know it's new and I like Yost is on it.
Yeah.
But Yost. I would like to see that.
Huh. I will pass for the moment.
Oh, boy. Nice. Ah, I was not ready.
Pressure's on. Yeah, you guys.
I don't know. This feels like a little bit of a cop-out, but I'd love to see Geoff Johns back on The Flash. That is one of my favorite comics of all time.
Wow. That's a cop-out.
No.
It is. Oh, apparently, for those of you listening at home, that is a cop-out, according to the person who asked the question.
Yep.
So I'll do a new one. I would love to see Geoff Johns on an ongoing Snapper Carr book of all the stuff that happens when the Justice League goes out on adventures, and he's sitting there drinking coffee and wondering what's going on.
Great. Wow.
I think that would be super sweet.
Fresh answer.
This is a super weird answer I'll give. I don't know many creative teams, but I play an MMO called The Secret World, which has a really interesting mythology to it. And I think they've talked about making a comic, and I don't know what their financial situation is, but if they could do it, I think it would actually be pretty good.
Cool.
Nice. Cool. I'd actually also like to see Pete write The Punisher.
Yeah.
To embarrass him?
I would like to see a panel of only guns.
It'd probably be more than one, but it would touch your soul.
Eventually, the issue would end with the Punisher just be crowded out of the panel by all the guns.
His best friend is a giant gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. The book is actually called Punisher :
Yeah. Why? And then one more question in the back, is that?
Yeah, you, sir. Come on over here.
Oh, we need to get it in the microphone, though, for posterity.
Oh, this is... Wait, let's see
Alex,
how far
don't
I can
push
go.
The border.
Here we go.
Don't. Right.
So this here is Siegel and Schuster's 100th birthday, so what would you like to see to honor them?
Ah, nice.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
Great question.
Superman taken away from them, maybe? I mean, that might be a good way to honor them.
Oh, come on.
All right, well, no.
Oh.
I would like to see just as many artists as wanted to contribute their take on Superman, because I feel like they created the icon of Superman in their initial sort of burst of creating Superman. I feel like seeing as many people offer their version of that would be a great way to honor sort of the character they created in the modern way.
I mean, I think the underlying thing with that question is it would be nice if DC Comics did 100 years of Siegel and Schuster and put that as part of their celebration, because obviously due to legal issues, they're making it about, hey, it's 75 years of Superman, and that's pretty much it. It would be nice if there was a little bit of a recognition there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Put on an issue, you know, collect maybe some of their lesser known stories or something like that. That might be kind of cool. I imagine there are things somewhere in an archive that are lost works, something like that. That would be kind of neat.
Or build a Superman robot that's real and can fly.
That
my
vote's
on that one.
Thanks.
Yeah, or somewhat sort of a composite Batman Superman.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would be
cool. If that's possible.
Yeah, one that's half and half. Cool.
All right.
Pete, do you have no answer to that?
Well, yeah.
I would
just
like to
like,
honor these great
creators. I mean, my answer felt a little kind of dumb, so I was hoping we were going to skip over it, but nope.
We that never stopped us before.
Never has. I would just like, you know, as part of the kind of anniversary issue to have it, have it be the old-timey look a little bit with newer stories, you know, so you're kind of paying homage to the originators with new material.
Cool. Nice. All right.
Everyone wearing hats.
And that is it for your audience
ties
questions.
Yeah!
Okay, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to zip through this because Time to Pete is just giving me a time check.
Yep.
Thanks, Pete.
No problem.
But let's kick it off talking about The Walking Dead.
Yes.
There are only
one more
episodes left. This is the penultimate episode. You guys know I love to say that word, and if I have a chance to say it, I say it. So what do you guys? What did you guys think?
What did you toast?
Spoilers.
Think? What did you toast over there? Think.
I tell this all the time, but I watch it in the bar. When Glenn just took off running when he saw the sign that Maggie left him, I was like, just started clapping. See, I thought that was awesome.
That's funny because when I saw that, I was like, oh, was Forrest Gump here? What's going on? Like, it got so, I was like, this episode
Dude,
is goofy.
You're fighting zombies to try to get back together with your lady. You see us, like, you're the whole time you're like, you're killing people looking for your wife. Oh, God, please don't let it be here, but I got to stab her in the face. And then all of a sudden
like,
you see a note. Yeah, it gives you all
no,
the hope.
I know.
You got to fucking run.
I get it, but of course. But then a minute later, he's with the group. Like, it's not like that. This didn't make any sense why someone would actually do that in that series of a situation.
He got wrapped up. He got so
it's
he
adrenaline.
Just took off.
Yeah,
yeah.
You hit the adrenaline. You got
to I thought
you
it was a great moment.
Somehow.
Well, but I just felt like when he was like, I was running, that was a little too much.
He didn't say that.
I didn't mind that scene so much. But the episode was kind of downhill from there for me.
What? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, that part of the tunnel was ridiculous.
The part of the tunnel is so
goofy,
stupid. You're
in
the middle of a zombie apocalypse. I get you have to get back to your girlfriend, wife, or whatever. But being like, oh, I'll go into a dark tunnel full of zombies. That'll get me back to her quick. I got to take a shortcut. Is the stupidest thing. We're back in the land of everybody making stupid decisions. For no reason.
Isn't that called things you do for your girlfriend? Make
stupid exactly.
decisions?
Yeah, right, thank you.
Buddy. Damn. Damn. Yeah.
I just think that, you know.
I feel like I'm always walking through a dark tunnel with my girlfriend, right? Full of zombies, right?
Well, it was one of those things where you have to do, you know, like, all right, you either go this way, and it's clearly got a note that says go this way, or you go around to do the safe thing.
Yeah.
He had to go into the tunnel.
Well, no,
he
didn't. The guys that went around actually found Maggie before he did.
Yeah, they absolutely did.
If you
he
remember.
Didn't know where it ended or where, you know, you
All
don't
right.
know.
That was
very quickly,
stupid.
Let's talk at the end of the episode. A large chunk of the group finally gets to Terminus, where I believe it's the lady who used to play Tasha Yar is there waiting for her.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing. And she says, hey, how are you doing? You look kind of tired. Let me make you a plate of food. And that's it. So what do you think Terminus is? What's going on there?
She was really creepy. I feel like it's going to be
creepy.
Something fucked up. Especially
Where were all the people? Why was she the only one out there?
Yeah, it was weird. I thought for sure in that shot when she's standing there like fixing a plate, I thought she was going to turn around and be a zombie eating a human or something.
Yeah.
The fact that she's a person and there's literally no one else there makes me worried. I thought we were going to be jumping into – I thought next season might get into like Negan territory.
Yeah.
But that could still happen. But it was.
I don't think they jump ahead. I mean, there were so many issues. They got to have the show where they go back to the truck and then go back to the thing and then go back. You know.
We're already done with the governor, so.
I think she's probably eating everybody else, right?
What?
You think she's eating everyone else?
She eats people. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, wow. The audience getting hard. Oh, I didn't
A lot
think
of audience members shaking their head like, yep, she eats people.
Yeah, she definitely eats people. She had a human in her tooth, if you look close.
Right. Yeah, it was a little arm sticking out of her mouth.
And here's the thing.
A very
the
tiny
past
arm.
Couple of episodes, Carl's done nothing but eat pudding and chocolate bars and just fat himself up.
Oh, he is
like a fat little Hansel.
Yeah, but didn't you like it when you walked past that wrapper? That was...
Yeah. But Carl is going to get there, and he'd be like, oh, no, don't eat me.
Yeah. I am such a fat boy.
I'm full of 100 ounces of pudding.
this episode, I feel like, especially because the episode before this one was so, like, dark, well-written, like, the dialogue was great, and this episode was sort of goofy. The characters were making sort of dumb choices a lot. So it's a little inconsistent, but I am excited to see
Glenn
all the
Maggie
characters
got
come back
together. I mean, that was...
But all the stuff with Daryl and the like claim and all that, I was just like, oh, this is so bad. It's so much worse than the episode before.
All right, before let's move on to the next thing. So, The Rock, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, released a
Hercules
trailer.
Yeah,
The Rock.
He
released a trailer.
Well, he released a trailer for his new movie Hercules. But while he was doing that, he had a Twitter chat with fans. And teased that he is going to be doing a DC Comics movie role. And this is something that we knew before. He's talked about that he met with DC. But I'm going to see if I can find the specific tweet that he sent about it.
Well, while we're waiting on that, what did you guys think of the trailer?
Of the Hercules movie?
Yeah.
It looks like a worse version of Gladiator.
Really, that's interesting. You said, because I watched the Legend of Hercules trailer, which was a different Hercules movie.
Yeah.
And that looked like Gladiator meets like Troy or something in terms of the love story. Yeah. And I was thinking this Hercules movie at least actually looks like the story of Hercules. Legitimately.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, for, just, it might not be like something,
right. It might not be the best in terms of giant fighting monster movies, but at least it's the actual story of Hercules. Right.
So here we go. He said, myself and DC have agreed on a character, extremely complex, well-known, but never played, and a pure badass MF. Winky face, rock talk. And then later, when somebody asked him, are you going to play Green Lantern? He said, Green Lantern, John Stewart, and Black Adam are my fave superheroes, but GL's already been made and stamped. Hashtag rock talk. So what do you guys think? Who
rock talk.
Who is he to... This is his Twitter chat handle. Who do you guys think that he has been talking to DC about? Who is he locked down to play?
Who fits his body type?
I mean, Black Adam would be amazing.
Black Adam, here's the thing. Everybody online, I think, was like, it's Black Adam or it's Lobo, and that's pretty much it. But I feel like him saying a well-known character...
Yeah, it's sort of close.
Nothing against our audience, but nobody knows Lobo and nobody knows Black Adam.
Right? True. Though he may think that. Yeah, sure. That is. But, like, what well-known character would he be a good fit for?
I think he's Aquaman.
What?
Yeah, I think he's Aquaman because that's a character that's never been on screen before. Wow. They're definitely going to have
Entourage Season 2.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Vinny Entourage. Chase, Entourage Season 2.
I know, and Mercy Reef.
The
Everybody
ultimate
knows
Aquaman.
Mercy Reef.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, Mercy Reef, the pilot that the CW did. You guys know what I'm talking about. But, yes, Ed Smallville, on TV, but there's never been a screen Aquaman. They're going to have Aquaman in the Justice League movie. Everybody makes fun of Aquaman all the time, right?
So The Rock would be perfect.
Yeah, if you bring The Rock in as Aquaman, nobody is going to make fun of Aquaman.
Rock Woman!
Rock Woman!
Just for Rock that. Woman!
Yeah. Anyway, it would be great. That's my point.
Yep.
Cool. All right. That's it for the Week of Geek. We're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Peter LePage.
All right, guys. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. Yes, you first hand up guy. Come on up here.
Right, you're one in a long line of first hand up guys.
Come on up. Come on up. 1-800, come on up.
All right. What is your name, sir?
Paul.
Paul, audience? Audience, Paul.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, and then when you get the right one three times in a row, $25. Here we go. So just as long as you've read every comic that came out, you'll be fine. So here we go. Question number one. In Wonder Woman number 29, which is amazing, by the by, who is back in a big way? Spoilers, by the way. Is it A, Hera, B, Apollo, or is it C, Kelsey Grammer? So it's either A.
It's A, Hera.
Yes, you are correct. Nice. In Thunderbolts number 23, also very funny and enjoyable, who wants to leave the group? Is it A, Deadpool, B, Venom, or C, Spider-Ham? Spider-Verse, people, it's coming. So it's either A, Deadpool, or B, Venom. You should pick B.
B, Venom.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
And BPRD number 117. Who has gone missing? Is it A, Abe Sapien, B, Liz Sherman, or is it C, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Hercules.
Nice.
I'm going to...
Probably the first one.
I'm going to say Abe Sapien.
Yes, you are correct. Here's your $25. Thank you for coming out. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking for Sandman Overture number 2.
Ooh.
Any particular reason?
The first issue was amazing. I felt like it brought it right back. I felt like time hadn't gone by. It was really just as amazing as the original series. And I can't wait for more.
That's wonderful.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you, I've read the issue, and it's great.
Oh, you're an asshole. But thank you.
Oh, no one ever says those things together. I'm looking forward to Manhattan Projects number 19, one of the most original comics projects.
We love that.
Comics out there, yeah, by Jonathan Hickman. It's fantastic. The art's great as well, and it's very original.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Serenity Leaves on the Wind, number 3, is coming out. We were talking about the Buffy comic books earlier. They're doing the Serenity comic books as well over at Dark Horse, and they're awesome. Great following up on the series, again, a continuation right after the movie, and it's super cool. What are you looking forward to?
I was considering saying Serenity, and I was considering saying Sandman, because my friend Emily just said to say Neil Gaiman as many times as I could when I was here. But I think I'm going to say Harley Quinn popped out of me, and she was someone I thought was very attractive when I was like 12 and was watching the Batman TV show.
Nice.
So I'm just going to say that, even though I don't know anything about the quality of the comic.
The new Harley Quinn series by Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Conner is great. It's a lot of fun. She inherits a house on Coney Island. And she has to run it at the same time these assassins are trying to kill her, and it's very funny. It's a really good book. Cool, and plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Come see Magically Delicious at the Pit, Mondays at 8, me and Pete LePage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, Scott Eckert is going to be back. He's always one of our favorite guests.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, happy to have him back, so that should be a fun one.
Yeah.
Pete!
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, I'm going to be posting up a new issue of Captain Jones on the old Twitter.
Yeah,
so that'll go up tonight.
Pete, what is your Twitter?
It is real at real Pete LePage.
Real at real Pete.
No, it's at real Pete LePage.
Cool. Nice. So check out at real Pete LePage.
Yeah.
Your comic will be up there.
That is correct.
There you awesome. Go. We worked that out. Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. And if you want some free comics, hit me at JT Sizzle.
Cool. You can also check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. I'm, of course, at Aze Albin.
Yeah!
There you go.
But what are you doing on your Twitter?
Just kind of hanging out, chilling, doing a little rock talk.
Bullshit.
All right.
Rockwoman?
Hey, you know what I always say? That girl is like American Vampire Second Cycle. She's got a lot of issues before her.
Oh, man. That's a way to end the show.
Great.
You stopped me before.
Yeah.
Guys, a couple of people we want to thank before we gotta go. We want to thank all of our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Riley Trahan. We want to thank Brad for being on the show.
Yeah.
We want to thank everybody here at
Thanks,
Fontana's.
Everybody.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday at 7 p.m., totally free, plus free comics. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.